You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another show here of the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Cindy DeFerdinand.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show today.
Okay.
So here we are.
Here we are.
Another great episode. I know we talked, Bruce, about having today's show. Instead of having a guest today, we'd like to share with our audience a little bit about what can somebody expect from coaching? What might some of the benefits and rewards be in hiring a coach? And also what kind of situations might prompt you or kind of push you to consider coaching and think about, hiring a coach. So that's what we'd like to put out there for you today. We're looking forward to sharing that with you. If anybody's out there wondering if you've never had a coach or you're going through a life situation where you think a coach may be of value to you, that's what we're going to talk about today in the show. So what do you think, Bruce, off the top of your head? I know we did have some discussion earlier. What are some of the situations that you think prompt people to consider and kind of push them towards picking up that phone or reaching out and finding a coach to work with them personally?
Yeah, from the pick up the phone perspective, I think, you know, the person has come to a point that they need help with something or they need assistance with something. And that could be a variety of things. It could be a personal issue or a relationship issue, a health issue, a business startup issue, overall self-improvement issue. We've had folks that work with creatives, right, to help with the creative processes. So I think that the first step is that the person has identified an area of assistance, right, that they need.
Right, they need some support. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely have identified that they're not getting there by themselves. Maybe they've acknowledged that. And like you said, it's so diverse. There's so many reasons and areas of somebody's life that they might need a coach to partner with them. And they've identified this particular area. I think you said it very well, Bruce, when you opened up. There's a lot of different reasons that somebody might seek a coach, but it's typically specific to one area of their life that they want some forward movement with. Maybe they're not getting the most out of a work situation or a personal situation or a business plan that they've put together. They're looking to climb to higher heights. Maybe they're just looking for a more balanced life. Maybe they've got work-life balance issues. Or maybe they feel like they're not pushing themselves enough, and working with a coach will help kind of push the envelope a little bit, push them out of their comfort zone. And so that's, interestingly enough, there's so many different reasons why somebody might seek out a coach, but I'd like, to kind of dive in a little deeper with what are the signposts for somebody that, hey, this might be a good time. What indicates it's time?
Right.
Besides an employer or, somebody else having to tell you. I mean, if it's coming from you and you're internalizing that, wow, I really want to accomplish this, or I'm really having difficulty in this area, or I really like to push through this. And that's a process that happens internally. What are some of the other signs, do you think, Bruce, that people might encounter that would indicate that, hey, maybe it's time to check into this thing called coaching?
Yeah, I think, one of the things that that I've encountered, with my clients is that they're just, not only is there an area of deficit or an area of need, but that this person has also exhausted their resources. They've exhausted their resources that they can, deploy on their own, or that they can do on their own, right? And they need other resources to assist them to meet their goals, right?
Right.
I don't want to say they're out of gas, but you can say they're out of gas, or they've hit a wall, and
or just something they're not pushing through. They're just not getting any more momentum on their own. And the whole point of a coach being very confidential, very discreet. It's a very special relationship where somebody partners with you in every area. You know, like they may come for a relationship. Let's just, you know, something simple. Everybody can relate to relationships in your life, whether, you know, it's a personal, intimate, or romantic, or just family relationship. There's problems in a relationship, and you know, some people will seek out therapists. Obviously that works very, very well if they want to climb into the past or a little bit deeper. But there are people who focus on relationship coaching and can be there to help people work through situations in their personal relationships. So a lot of times it'll start out in one area, but it can also, just like we've shared before, as business coaches, a lot of times we do a lot of clearing the debris personally, or some personal development, or relationships may come up during coaching, even if it's focused on somebody's business life. But typically, I think you're right, they identify there's a specific need that's unmet, or an area of their life where they're just not able to get where they want to get by themselves.
You know, yeah, and there's another angle that I want to briefly go down. You know, there's an old saying about based on attraction rather than promotion, you know. And, you know, last week we've talked about things that we can do to promote a coaching practice and all those things, which I think are good. But I think there's the attraction piece is very important. And here's the angle I'm going with, folks, is that let's say you're a coach. I think it's, and you have a certain skill set and a certain population or populations that you work with. I think it's so important that you kind of get out there and kind of spread your own gospel of what you do in terms of I'm available. I'm a coach. I help people. I'm a helper. And this is what the topic areas that I help with. And I think for me, getting out there and making appearances and making public appearances and speaking before groups and condo buildings and other groups. And people were kind of like, oh, wow, now that you've said something, I could use a coach as it pertains to XYZ. See what I mean? It's not like the person.
Right, right. It's because people don't really know, you know, if we're not put, I understand what you're getting at, you know, like a lot of times coaches work on referrals. Maybe they've been in business a long time, then they're very niche-y. Maybe they do a specific, maybe they do just grief coaching and that's, but if people don't know they're there, if you're not also marketing yourself and kind of putting yourself out of your own comfort zone a lot of times, people don't really understand that there is that support out there for them. So, and you know, the reason we did the show was all around that. I mean, that was the big motivator for us is, you know, we're going to spread the word or the gospel, as you said, of coaching in our own unique way by doing this show to let people know what coaching is and what it is and what types of specialties of coaches are out there to serve everybody if you have a need. But I do get what you're saying, Bruce, that attraction piece is coaches. I guess what you're trying to tell, what I hear you saying is you're trying to tell us is that coaches do have a responsibility to let people know that they're there, that they, you know, that whole I'm available. I love that, that phrase, because a lot of times you're just letting people know I'm available to support and to help you get through whatever it is you need to get. If you're getting through something or you're just trying to move forward and maybe you're not getting there all on your own. Maybe there's a situation in your life that you need to end. You need to stop putting up with. You need to set boundaries. You just need a little bit of support to push through, or maybe it's long-term goals that you're having difficulty meeting, or maybe your personal life gets too involved in the busyness of it and it's interfering with you reaching your professional goals or your the job that you have at hand. There's all kinds of reasons that people may need support, but if they don't know we're there, right, how can they get the support that they need? So that's a point well taken.
Yeah, and people are on a journey. They go on a mental journey before they actually reach out and get help. Right. And that journey is, You know, they might have a pre. They're thinking about something. There is this need, and then they go into a contemplation stage. That okay, well maybe I do have this problem, and then they, well, maybe I do, or this issue, and maybe I do need help with it. And so, you know, and then something happens that's a catalyst that will move the person from thinking about taking action to taking action, right? To you know, hiring a coach, let's say. And so I think oftentimes there's so many people that are in that contemplation stage, and they may be ready or pretty dang gone close to ready to getting a coach. And then, you know, then talking to somebody who is a coach, right, might spur that person to then consider coaching. So, and I think that's different. I think you don't see that in psychiatry. Like, hey, I'm a psychiatrist. I can medicate you. Like, oh, you know what? I'm kind of pressed. I could use some medication. I don't think it works that way. You know what I mean?
It's not how it usually, how it's the engagement begins.
Right.
But, you know, often coaching does begin with just reaching out, being available, a simple coaching conversation where people start getting the understanding a little bit about what a coach is and what it can offer. And it sometimes it's several conversations before somebody decides to engage and hire a coach.
Sure.
So I do think it's a little bit of a process, like you're saying. It's a mental journey. There's a process to considering it, working through things that you're not quite able to work through on your own. Mm-hmm. Maybe you understand what coaching is. Maybe you've been exposed to a coach. You have some conversations and decide that this person might be the right match for you. I guess for me, you know, and I know you and I've talked a lot about this. What about the people who don't even know what coaching is? You know, like,
right.
What do they do when they, you know, they get to this point in their life where, you know, they want to move to a more positive place. They need to get some support and strength from somebody, but they don't really know that coaching exists. So yeah. That's what you were talking about. It's like the attraction piece, you know, as coaches, even right. If we don't want to brand ourselves and market ourselves, you know, 24/7, we do have a responsibility to let people know that we're available and reach out and get in front of people to some degree so that we can be a service to them.
Exactly. Like that's why, you know, and I haven't done this, but here's a tip for our listeners, that let's say if I were to join some sort of employee assistance group or some sort of a human resource managers group for a particular, you know, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you know, because then a lot of people, if they don't think about coaching, then they're going to gravitate toward a support group, right? Their association or their professional association, or you know what I mean. They're gonna go to maybe a supportive arm of their colleagues for support, you know,
and maybe mentoring.
They need more than support. They need coaching. So for instance, yeah. So if there was some sort of a, you know, I don't know.
I think there are a lot of
leadership
companies.
Meeting, right.
Right. A lot of companies do have the support of coaches available. But I hear what you're saying, that a lot of times people, when they need a push forward, they will join professional organizations or maybe personal mm-hmm. organizations to give them support, you know, group recovery groups, maybe the substance abuse recovery groups. They're going through a particular hardship and grief, you know, like what we see happening, you know, in Houston and now in the Caribbean and the Keys and Florida. I mean, it's sure. just devastation for people. Those people are going to need a lot of support. So typically, maybe there's community resources. Coaching, on the other hand, is a very different, I believe, and a very unique. Not that there isn't coaches that do, like you and I do some co-coaching. There is group coaching, mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. typically coaching is a one-on-one relationship, right? So it's one person partnering Correct. With another person. And so it's a different type of support. It's definitely something that somebody needs to be ready to commit to commit to the changes they want to make, or the problems they want to work through, and the solutions that they want to find, the answers that they want to work through. There's work to be done if you hire a coach. The coach doesn't do the work for you, doesn't tell you how to fix your problem or work through your life situation. The coach is going to ask powerful questions to help you determine what you want and where you want to go. So it is a unique relationship, but typically it is a one-on-one relationship. So getting back to, like, what are some of the trigger points that might indicate, hey, maybe I need some support on this. Maybe a professional coach, a life coach, a business coach is... maybe it's time to seek somebody like that out. So I think there can be a lot of different reasons that somebody looks to find a coach, work with a coach. Obviously, lots of coaching done in the professional segment of somebody's life. So say they're looking for some movement forward, some growth professionally. But there's a lot of other reasons that people might seek out coaching. Maybe they have communication issues. Maybe they're tolerating things in their life, in their personal relationships, or in the workplace that they know they don't have the strength to do on their own, and they're looking for support. There are so many incredible reasons that people will benefit from coaching. And a lot of times it's just that nudge, that internal register that says, hey, I'm not quite getting there on my own.
Exactly. I'll run across a couple of business scenarios. Last week, talked with a high executive C-suite person who was kind of telling me off the cuff that she hired a coach to help her deal with another executive woman who's on her team, and they're at odds and they're in conflict, and it's very
workplace
volatile.
Conflict, right.
Yeah. And she went to the whole female dynamic thing there at the C-suite, and it is, man, it looked like gladiator school. But so that was a reason why this, and again, I'm sure this woman was kind of going through her mind, man, I'm out of gas. I'm at an impasse here. I don't know what else to do. Let me get a coach and get some assistance here. Boom, she hires a coach. Things get better. I took on a case this week where, it was more of a negative thing happened to an individual.
And sometimes is how it happens.
And they're wanting to support him through a process and all this other stuff. So then once, you know, and the supervisors in this case were very informative and said, here's what we want this guy to do, and here's how we think he can do it. And so they literally laid out a coaching plan for this guy. They called me, they retained me, and then I had a discussion with him this morning about what, you know, coming out of my mouth and not the supervisor's mouth, I said, hey, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? I mean, he was like endorsing, man, those are great ideas. And then at the end of the call, I was telling him, well, hey, you know, I got those ideas, you know, as part of that 360, you know, getting that data, those data points from the people around you.
Right.
That actually see the things that you don't see, you know, and
sometimes they can hear it. He could or she could hear it better from you than the people in the intimate circle, whether it's the boss or the wife or the husband. I mean, a lot of times we don't always hear it from the people that are so desperately trying to speak it to us, you know. So that's great that a lot of times the ears will open up. And I, you know, one of my sayings, it's so basic, is two heads are better than one, you know, like when you have two people in it together and the coach meets you where you're at and listens, you know, actively listens to where you're at and what do you really think and what do you really feel and what do you really want to do? The two heads are better than one. It really does. You get more movement, right? You just absolutely get more movement and can come out in a more positive place than you could potentially do on your own.
Yeah, and
so I mean, that's really the gist.
Right, and you got to be careful too, because there is a temptation to kind of look back and see what was wrong and what went wrong and how can we fix what's wrong and not look forward. And so I always try to make sure that I have people look forward. Hey, what do you want? What do you want out of your life moving forward? Don't just stop at your job. What do you want out of your life? What do you want for yourself? What do you want for your family? You know, what are some things you want personally? What are some things you want professionally, and let's look at the whole person and try to energize, different sectors of a person's life. And so,
yeah, I like what you just said, Bruce. What do you really want? Like, what are you really trying to get out of this? And it's not just, and look at it like full circle. You know, just because somebody is having a conflict in a particular area of their life, it definitely impacts other areas. And it may just be something they need to work through and they need support and a partner and a facilitator. But it's not really the big enchilada in their life. There's other things that a coach can get to get underneath once they clear up maybe that conflict or that problem in their area, that there's so much more that to imagine in your life. And a coach can be a great, great asset in kind of asking those questions to kind of clear your mind and like open up the boundaries way further than you've ever, expected to go.
Yeah.
So it's really is kind of a joyful journey. And a lot of times when I talk to people, that they'll get at this impasse where, they're planning things, they're plotting, they're organizing, they're pushing themselves forward. But you know how, like, sometimes people just don't know which door to open, which hallway to go down? There's options and people get confused by the opportunities or the many options. I think sometimes working, that's a good indicator to me. When you get at that point where you're just like, I don't know which way to go, having a professional coach, somebody who has experience in working with people, can really help you flesh out those situations and the options and the opportunities and help you get clearer into which direction you really do want to go. What serves you best, right?
Mm-hmm.
What serves you best based on what you want, what your needs are.
Yeah, I have a client, and I was working with a client and very strong Christian faith, and so they bring that to the table, and so, I think that was great, and they talked about their beliefs and their witness and so, I kind of brought up something. I said, it's like if I'm watching the show Survivor on Netflix, and I'm watching season one. And I don't know what's really happening, but then I get an advertisement on Facebook that says, oh, yeah, season 3, Survivor. Well, then I kind of know, right? Even though I'm watching season 1, I know that there's a season 3 out there, okay? and so I don't really have to be in suspense when I'm watching this season because I know these other seasons are out there. So, or let's say that Jack guy from 24, you know what I mean? So the guy, he obviously still lives. And so, I talked about his faith. It's like, well, in the Christian faith, right? Pretty much how the story ends, right? And if this is how the story ends, then all we have to do is worry about right now. See what I mean? We don't have to take on the whole weight of the world, the weight of the Book of Revelation or whatever. You know what I mean? You have to take... Let's just worry about what we're supposed
like
to
right
be
here,
now.
Right now.
And,
right here,
and
right
isn't
now.
That really part of your faith is to be in the now and to be of service to others and to love others and show others and be of use and value? I mean, isn't that part of your faith,
And, right.
Yeah, it is. So, wow, I was able to use that as a leverage arm to, one, try to dispel generalized anxiety about the future, and then, two, right, center them a little bit with their already existing center of, the positive aspects of life and living and relating and those things, and then picking goals that are in line with their faith, right? So,
right. Cool. Are there values, right?
Morals, values, beliefs, and mm-hmm. faith, yes.
Kind of And a lot of times you kind of touched on that sort of what I call present moment awareness, where people like start future tripping and get anxious over how much they have to accomplish and where they're going. And, coaching definitely is about getting from A to Z. You want to go forward. But sometimes people get so caught up in the doing and the accomplishing that they're not actually, lots of people come to coaching because they're burnt out, because they're sick of what they're doing professionally. They've learned to hate it. And they really have lost the joy in sort of just daily living. So I do find a lot of times in my coaching that it will get down to that at some point, is that, you know, how are you enjoying each day? Are you really fully present in the purpose of each day, instead of so caught up in what you have to accomplish in that to-do list that you're missing the joy of the moment? So I think there's so many aspects that come into coaching, and it is very individual, you know, because it can start out at one point and then lead somebody somewhere else they never expected to go. And you as a coach never expected them to go, which is kind of exciting, because every coaching session has a life of its own. I mean, it's sort of interesting working with people because stuff comes up, you know, as they're working on a direction in their life and the reason they came to you for coaching, other stuff comes up, you know, and you get to work through that with them as well. And it's really, really exciting, and it can be really, really fun. And I think a lot of people gain a lot of perspective, movement, insight, confidence, because a lot of times people don't know how to toot their own horn or, you know, pat themselves on the back, or, and I've brought this up before, a lot of people I coach don't necessarily look backwards and see how far they've come. They're always pressing forward, you know? So sometimes working with a coach, you get a more circular perspective of your life, you know?
Yeah, and this gentleman I spoke of earlier, where his supervisors kind of gave me all those data points, he really was kind of down on himself, down on the dumps, and really focusing on some negative stuff. And some of it is understandable why he's doing that. But he just doesn't need to linger in that zone. And so, another
thing. Linger in the zone.
When I start to yell at people, I'll say, your mind is a dangerous neighborhood and you can't go there alone. You need the wingman to help get you through it a little bit here. Come on now, until you start thinking right.
It's a big
laugh and a chuckle, but wow. I mean, I got one of my longer term coaching cases, and he'll do it, man. If he's stressed and then something goes wrong with his family and then something goes wrong with his job, man, that's like a lethal triad for this guy. And he starts really getting into a negative place. I'm just like, whoa, slow your roll, chief. You know, and thank God he's open and transparent and feels, you know.
Comfortable.
What's the Cindy term? Clear the debris or blow the debris, whatever.
Just clear the debris. But I think what I hear you saying is that, you know, when somebody works with you and trusts you, and so he's kind of going off when he's going off the rails in too many major areas of in his life, significant areas, he starts going going negative. Working with you helps him get, you know, maybe back on track a little bit from a perspective standpoint.
And interestingly, this particular fellow, and I've had it happen before in my 30 plus years of working with people, but man, you know, you get kind of paranoid and suspicious. It goes beyond caution. Mm-hmm. It's paranoid and suspicion. And then if you say one thing that they feel is untoward, now you're part of the conspiracy. It's like, whoa, you know, now you see that kind of, it almost drifts into a psychological condition where the person's whoa, you're almost deluding yourself. I'm still me. I'm still here. Stuff like that. Kind of talking down.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm just, you know, you need to separate how you feel from
reality.
What really is. Yeah, I mean, I might feel like I need an Escalade, you know, but I ain't getting one, you know, so too much gas, you know, but anyway.
True, because that whole thing of, you know, with coaching, we want people moving in a positive direction forward. That doesn't mean that shit doesn't happen in somebody's life, you know. It's tough to be there as a coach when people are walking through serious adversity, a trial in their life, and they're devastated, and, you know, and to try to be that light to, you know, just be there with them so they can authentically show up with in their grief and their anger and their frustration, but knowing that they'll get to the other side, the resiliency will happen. And I think that's a great place to be professionally, is to be able to be, like you said, available to sit with somebody and really get them through or talk them through and be there to support them through the changes that sometimes are very difficult. You know, life isn't always just easy. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you coach people through some major, major stuff, and it's nice to see them, you know, get on the other side of it. But I guess what I was hearing you say is sometimes when life gets hard, negativity can take over. And so that negative thinking can turn into a little bit beyond reality based, yeah, you know, where sure it stretches a little too far. Some people will know that they're there, but some people really need to bounce it off a coach for some perspective, because they can trail off a little bit. You know, you don't to take it too far, I guess is what I'm saying.
I need to teach them the skills that they can catch themselves before they go into their own blind spot that they had before working with me, right? Don't go back into that blind spot. Number two, that resilience comes, but let me tell you, that resilience comes after a whole lot of work.
And it's earned. I was thinking it's earned.
Yeah. But yeah, I heard you say that. And then the resilience comes. And I'm like, then it comes after what? After a crap ton of work, man. It could be just me and the folks I've worked with. But I mean, it has been a heavy lift every time for me. And I enjoy it. It's a challenge. And boy, you know, Bruce Cameron loves a fight and loves a challenge and loves to lift heavy weights, no doubt about it. But building and teaching resilience is so important, but man, often, at least in my world, Cindy, maybe I need to get some coaching from you, but
I'm available. I'm available. It's a hefty fee though. It's a hefty fee. Just kidding. But no, like it is. I mean, I think the coaching process, you know, people come in and you know, they're trying to find some movement or improvement or balance or acceptance or, you know, just conflict resolution, or, you know, they just want to grow personally. I like when I see it show up in my coaching practice, when people are tired of just being who they've been. You know, they're just, you know what I mean? Like they're done. They're done with them. They're done with them. They know that what they do and who they are is preventing them from getting what they want out of life. And it really comes down to they get that they need to make some changes. And if they don't make some changes, they're not going to get the good life that they fantasize about or envision for themselves. And they know they're getting in their way. And I love that honesty. I had a coaching conversation with somebody that wants to work with me, and they've had, their life is so full and so impacted, and they're trying to figure out when they can put it on the calendar. But one of the things I loved about this conversation, very high corporate level person, very bright, she pulled her own covers. She had terrible follow through. And I love that she pulled her own covers and she said, this is an area I really need coaching on.
Yeah.
My follow through sucks. And you know what? That's the kind of people I want to work with. I don't care if she puts it off for however long she needs to put it off until she has the space, the time, whatever. But that's the kind of people you want showing up to be coach, is people who know they need to change. They need support in order to push through whatever it is that's standing in their way. And that's the difference between somebody who shows up for coaching versus I would expect somebody who shows up for therapy, or certainly who shows up for counseling or mentoring. They're looking for answers, your answers. But a coaching client is looking to make changes, and they need to tap into their own resources, their own answers in order to find that movement. And it's when people get that, click, click, get it, and start pulling their own covers, I think that they're ready for coaching.
Yeah, that's a dream client there, Cindy, and you're right. And you know what? Yeah, more often than not, it is that mindset that attracts people, coaches to coaches, is that kind of mindset. So, man, I just haven't been that lucky.
Where they're willing and ready, right?
I mean, I have. That's not true. I have, but then. Yeah, it was some Miami housewives who were looking for a boyfriend and probably need that more than a coach. But anyway, but seriously.
and sometimes that's why people come. People do come to to get it together in certain areas of their life so that they can show up in a better way, whether it's professionally or personal relationships.
Right.
Or whatever. But definitely, I think there has to be that notion, that click somewhere, that I'm getting in my own way. I can't get there on my own. I'm not Maybe I'm not thinking about it clearly enough, or I don't have the resources, or I've sort of, like you had said earlier in the show, you know, they've just exhausted their resources to meet the goals they want to meet or get where they want to. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. And also, if you look at any great athlete, virtually any great athlete, even runners, even golfers, every one of those great, great athletes has a coach. They're being coached.
That's, you know, right on.
Tiger Woods, Butch Harmon, before all his fall. Anyway, you know, everybody has a coach. They're being coached. Usain Bolt has, he's the fastest man probably in the world. He has a coach. You know, they did not achieve that level of greatness on their own.
You know, I think that's really remarkable that you're saying that, because I'm thinking, Bruce, as you're saying, you know, I was sharing with Bruce before we started the show, our pre-show, that I just got back from Chattanooga, and my oldest son is a fierce competitor. And
did the
World Championship Half Ironman competition, which was a blast. And, you know, we should actually invite him on the show, because, you know, the amount of hours, the dedication that he has put in to qualify for the world. You know what I mean? It's just like, you're right. He has a coach. He actually does some coaching of triathletes. And it might be fun to get into that mindset of a dedicated athlete, because there are parallels. And I believe this whole field of coaching spun off of of the athletic coaching and the mindset behind that. And definitely you're not getting there alone. Of course, it's a team approach at times, if it's not a solitary sport. But yeah, just to watch that kind of dedication unfold, because it takes a lot of perseverance and dedication and commitment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And focus, mm-hmm. and daily.
And the more I'm in this, especially when I'm in deep in the throes of a heavy lift coaching engagement, man, I am that guy. I come in there, try to keep the focus on the task at hand. I'm also very supportive, right? But I'm also, you know, if things go beyond a standard deviation left or right, I'm also a little bit confrontive. I'm very supportive of that coaching plan, supportive of those goals, here, present, in the moment, accountable, right? And kind of holding the line and helping them hold the line and keep this deal moving forward to the next level of greatness, to the next chapter in their lives, if it's a developmental issue. And so, yeah, I mean, there are so many parallels to that. And I remember in my coaching class, Cindy, there was that person that was like a gym coach or a retired, you know, school coach. And you know, I just kind of resonated with some of the things that they had to say, you know, kind of going into becoming a life coach. And I thought, man, that was so spot on. I felt that person resonated better with the core of coaching than myself at that day, coming in as a trained, you know, mental health professional and licensed person. Where, you know what I mean? So I kind of felt
right. Wow. The motivation and inspiration. I mean, the coaching profession is loaded with inspiration and motivation and really good feeling vibes. I think in general, it's a positive thing that the coaching profession brings to the world of individuals to inspire and motivate and support people being the best that they can be, getting the best out of life that they really want to get out of it, you know, in their own unique way. There's no one model. There's no one approach. It's unique to every individual. I believe the relationship is, and coaches are trained to have the skill set. Like you're saying, I like what you said. I think you said one or two deviations left or right. I mean, you have to meet people where they're at, but you also have to sometimes corral a little bit to keep it on track, you know, hold people accountable.
Yeah. And for me, I think, boy, this is for me, the big thrill is, I think as a mental health care professional, you know, and I've worked with a lot of lot of really challenging people as a mental health care professional, sex offenders, addiction, compulsive behavior, major depression, bipolar, you know, these affective disorders and stuff like that. And many times I just feel like, Cindy, I mean, I've done a great job. I've worked with them, you know, and we've kind of contained the illness, if you will. You know what I mean? They have more skills. They're dealing with it. But you know what I mean? It never... For some of these folks, the illness never went away, even with addiction.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I mean, you're
it's
managing
always there.
The addiction. It's like, okay, the person's better off than when they came in, and that's good and has merit and value. But man, folks, as a coach, I feel like I've helped the person get to 180 degrees in a better way. You know what I mean?
Oh, right, that nice. They wouldn't have been able to do it on their own.
Yeah.
And, you know, any movement forward, and I think that's a good point. I mean, there are people who deal with disabilities and you know, mental disorders and, you know, all kinds of trials and tribulations, you know, in life. But that doesn't mean that they can't overcome it. It doesn't mean they get rid of it. I mean, it doesn't mean you can just take it like a, you know, chalkboard and erase it. You know, sometimes that is the story for some people, but for a lot of people, it's just handling it better. It's moving their life forward despite it. It's not necessarily overcoming it. It's learning to live with it and to be the best that you can be and have the best life you can be with the disadvantage that you have in your own personal life. I guess that, you know,
exactly.
We both work with people who definitely have deficits or disadvantages or disorders, and that's okay. It doesn't mean you can't move forward in life and get what you want out of life. It may be a little more challenging, a little more difficult, a little more to overcome, right?
And I have my fellow brothers and sisters that retired from the Justice Department right about the same time. As a matter of fact, I'm having lunch with one of y'all Thursday. And
nice.
But the deal, I remember sitting in that, here's your pre-retirement seminar. Now here's your retirement seminar. And I could see the gloom and doom and woe on these folks' faces. These are my brothers and sisters in the Justice Department. Like, what am I going to do now? Am I going to get a hobby or get a slip at a garage sale or at a craft show or be a Walmart greeter? And I'm just like,
that is so
wait
bad.
A minute. You know what I mean?
For some people, that may be the absolute answer for them.
It is. And I'm not trying to bag on Walmart greeters and craft makers and garage sale people. But man, I'm just like, you know, and then on through social media, like, wow, I can't believe you're doing what you're doing. Yeah, because I didn't sit in that chair with that mindset, you know what I mean? That, oh, well, my life was
over. It's never over.
Oh, well, I've got to walk around with a limp. You talk about disability, Cindy. Can you imagine living on a retiree's, you know, baby pension and Social Security and whatever, you know, pithy thing was left in a 401k? You couldn't make it, especially in Cali. I mean, you know, so.
Well, no, I live in Cali. Thank you very much.
It's a death sentence. So, I mean, it's like, my God, you know, and so. Anyhow,
where do you go, by the way, to do that? I mean, you know, I'm telling you, I don't know how people. Yeah. I know I feel a lot of empathy for people who try to get by like that. It doesn't, but it's also a personal choice, and everybody makes their choices and how they want to live their life.
Here's what I want to say: you get institutionalized. You get institutional. Oh my God, I'm a retiree, and this is what retirees look at. Or people get institutionalized by, you know, age is nothing but a number. But I myself, you know. People are like, really? You're 54? You don't act 54, which is true because I'm immature, but, you know, I may look 54. But anyway, so maybe I can act.
And proud of it, right?
Yeah, right. No, just kidding. But hey, right? But that's what kind of keeps the person younger and healthy and keeps your mind active and keeps you viable and it keeps that spirit going, man. And you don't want to be beaten down by some sort of societal expectation of what older people do or what other retirees in your bracket do or even your blessed neighbors in a retirement community or your neighborhood even. You know, you can be the housewives of Atlanta or whatever, you know, what those mofs are doing. You know, that's kind of crazy. So, I mean, yeah. So
it sounds to me like you're encouraging our listeners to, you know, go where you want to go, live the life you want to live. And you know what? Sometimes it's like gets a little too sticky if you, you know, are hanging out with people with the same mindset. I know in my travels in life and all different areas of my life, if I get a little bit too much around a particular mindset, I start thinking, oh, maybe I'm approaching this wrong, doing 15 things at the same time professionally. You know what I mean? Like, and then I have to get grounded back in my reality and my dreams and goals and aspirations, and the way I live my life is authentically Cindy. And that's the way I'm going to do it. But I do get what you're saying. You use the term institutionalized, that people can kind of get stuck in the mold of what you're supposed to do or should or could or, you know, all that, where, you know, it's okay to jump off the cliff into the risk-taking mode too, because no risk, no reward, right?
Yeah. And so, again, everybody's different, and everybody's going to have different opportunities avail themselves to them in their lives. Coaching is one of them. And the thing about coaching is that anybody, not anybody, but lots of people could become coaches. You could become a coach. We do it with mentoring. We do it with parenting. There's a lot of people that are parents don't have a license, you know what I mean? So, but certainly with coaching, you know, you do the certification, you do get some good training, but, you know, it is something that is good and it's viable, and you can share a piece of yourself with somebody else. And if that can be monetized in some way, right, for your betterment.
Well, it's a win-win, right?
It's a win-win. Mm-hmm. And so, wow, I mean, what a great feeling. And that's why I have recruited so many people into going to coaching school.
I think you do that because you're enthusiastic about the profession. It's a profession that is right for you and feeds you, and then you start recognizing the opportunity for other people
to be
part of this group that goes out and serves in different ways. That every one of us is going to do it in our own unique way with different group of people, but we're out there trying to make a difference, and it's no joke. I mean, you know, although there's jokes made about coaching, of course there are. It's really no joke about what it can do to help somebody at a twist and turn in their life, right?
Right. This is kind of funny. Somebody was giving me some crap about being coach. You know, well, you're a coach, huh? Well, golly, you know, like, hey, buddy, tell you what, come to my office. And you bring the last 3 years of your tax returns, your 1040s, and I'll bring mine.
Dun, dun, dun.
And let's just see, you know, if this is all a bunch of hooey, let's just see what's going on with the coach. You know what I mean? No, man, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Like, well, you know, don't be bagging on coaching, right? Because, you know, this person had to think a little bit about, like, hey, wait a minute, you know.
Right. Well,
would you make fun of a mechanical engineer? Would you make fun of a doctor? Would you make fun of a of an attorney?
It is a profession that people pursue with some seriousness, right? Right. Although we can have a good time joking about it, you know. And some people will joke about, "Oh my God, you need a coach. You can't make any decisions in your life." I've had that happen to me.
Then they'll say.
I think it's because they don't really understand it.
Oh, well, Bruce, that's just you. You're just different like that, dude. Everybody's different like that. You're different. I'm different. We're all different. The only difference is how we execute and the consistency in our ability and persistence of execution. And that's it, right? It's passion and zeal, but at the end of the day, it's execution. So, don't get me started. I'm glad the show is over, folks. I'm about ready to start preaching. So there's cool my jets.
Maybe we could do that next week. We'll talk about execution. Definitely implementation and execution and getting into action is a big part of the coaching profession. Mm-hmm. So I think we're at the end of the hour.
Yes, we are, sadly.
I can be reached at wisdomfoods.com on my website, and also directly at 714-943-6206. And look forward to talking with everybody again next week. I hope everybody has a great day.
And don't forget to reach us on our Facebook page, you know, it's at Concierge Coaches Show on Facebook. Come see us on Facebook. Come see us on iTunes, folks. We are on iTunes. We are ranking. So please come listen to prior podcast shows on our iTunes, Concierge Coaches Show. I can be reached at conciergecoach.net and the Twitter at Cameron Coaches. So with all that, y'all have a great week, and we'll see
Happy
you here
Tuesday.
Next time. Yes.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Bruce.
See
bye-bye.
Next week on LA Talk Radio, Concierge Coaches Show. Good night, or good day. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.